This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, just across the top of the hour, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, here at live in Las Vegas where I am. I am Doug Kazarian alongside Will Hill, and we're tracking 5 baseball games, or actually more. The summer just started, so we have 2 more games underway, so 7 games going on right now. I think the most interesting is what's going on in Milwaukee. Seattle, losers of 22-0 yesterday, put a 4 spot up in the top of the first against Ginger Guard, and now we head to the bottom of the first. Logan Gilbert must be loving his position. A team that rarely produced runs all season, he now takes the mound with a 4-0 lead, and I guess there are bounce-back spots in baseball, Will.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that the Mariners were just going to hurdle up into a ball and start crying because they lost 22-0 like they're in the Little League World Series. They have 5-star hotels after the game. They have their 5-star meals. They've got their 5-star groupies probably. They're fine. They wake up the next day. They have their nice breakfast. They go to the ballpark, and it's 1 of 162, whether you lose 2-1, 2-0, 22-0, and they have shaken it off. Past tense. You went to Brown. You could probably straighten me out here, but they're fine. You keep waiting for somebody, Doug, and you keep waiting. I know a lot of people, I do these shows with multiple hosts. Can the Mariners steal the West? Can the Mariners get going? Is this the time? Femi Bebefe is a Seattle guy. Other people, hey, they got the pitching. I don't think they're going to get it going. If we're going to see it, we would have seen it by now, but maybe like it's still right there for them. As bad as they played, it's within reach. A good 4 or 5 days, a good week, you're right there. I don't know. You tell me. Do you think they're alive in the West? Can they come back and win it? Or is, you just got to give up here on the Mariners this far into the season.
I'm done with them. Look, we talk about Super Bowl hangovers. Why can't there be teams that suffer gut-wrenching losses in the ALCS? Why can't they have hangovers? And also, them and the Rangers are just gutless all season. I'm sick of waiting for them to flip the switch. Frankly, I mean, Houston belongs in that category, but at least they're in first place. I guess that would be the only difference. But these teams that we've just been waiting and waiting, like, they're gutless. They haven't flipped the switch, whether they lack leadership or whatever it is. Now, some teams have made some moves. Even if they're small moves, we'll see. But I'm out on Seattle. I'm so sick of them. You bring it up, teams and going into a season are a year away from being a year away. Like, that's kind of what Seattle is. They're like a runaway from being a runaway to make this interesting in the West. Yes, they get the big win Sunday Night Baseball. The bullpen comes in, Munoz shuts it down, great, and then they lose the next game. So it's like, okay, like this team has won that last weekend in Houston was the first series they had won on the road since end of May. So no, I am not buying the Mariners.
Me neither, but they've got the pitching in theory. You got a fat plus price on the division.
Do they have the pitching?
The second, so
do they have the pitching? Some of these guys stink on the road.
I know. I'm with you. I've made look. You're saying things that I've said. Where I said after last year, I say, hey, you lose a series like that to Toronto, where you blew game 7. You're up 2-0 with 1-2 on the road. You're going home for 3, 4, and 5. That series should never even get back to Toronto. And you had a lead in game 3. That was on pace to be a very short series. So I get it. But I mean, do you love the Astros? Do you love the Rangers? And all it takes is, hey, you go 7-3, you go 8-2 over 10 games. With the way these other teams are playing, you get back in the mix. But I generally agree with you. If we were going to see it, we probably would have seen it by now. Just a quick update, some breaking news. I know you're a big NBA guy. I like the NBA, too. I like the playoffs more than I like the regular season the last 4 or 5 years. I don't know if you need to take the rest of the show off to digest this trade, but we have a trade, Doug Kazarian. The Cavaliers get Peyton Watson, the Clippers get Max Strus, and the Nuggets get a 2031 first round pick, a 2032 second round pick, and then Peyton Watson will sign a 4-year, oh my goodness, is that an $88 million deal? Peyton Watson, $88 million. Okay, sure. I don't know. First impression here of this trade. Is this a surprise? Who won the trade? Who lost the trade?
So Watson was a big sort of piece that we thought Denver was building, or not building around, but utilizing. And then he sort of shut it down at the end of the regular season. Many thought because he didn't want to have an injury to risk his big deal. Well, I'll tell you what, I think he's better than Brown, who was overpaid the last offseason for the Nuggets, and that prevented them from re-signing Watson. So Watson's one of those guys who's an up-and-comer, Struce to LA. I mean, I don't know. Can we get Kenny Atkinson on line one to see who analytically won this deal? Because I am curious. Like, I think Cleveland added a piece here. I like Struce a lot as a role player, of course. I think Watson's a good get for them. And, the money is not my money. I don't care. I just think they have issues. They re-signed Harden. I think that's the issue, the top of mind with Cleveland. I don't know. I think this is a step in the right direction for them. And I guess, I mean, the Clippers, do they have Kawhi? Are they going for the playoffs? Are they one of the worst teams? Have we made up our mind what the Clippers are going to look like next year?
What a disaster. How has the NBA bungled this so badly? I mean, how much more evidence do you need that they broke the rules, they circumvented the cap, and Silver, who's about as soft as any commissioner you're ever going to see, I don't see anything, don't hear anything. I mean, David Stern would have come down so hard, so swiftly on this. Silver has no, I mean, you talk about these baseball teams, Doug, that have no guts. Silver has no guts whatsoever.
Oh, players
to let this linger for a year and a half and say, no evidence, didn't see anything. What do you mean no evidence? There's all the evidence you need. I'm shocked. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be shocked anymore. But Silver, I mean, Mike, that's a terrible job by the NBA in this scenario.
No, he completely coddles all these players. I mean, the Kevin Durant thing, when he like didn't want to shoot at the end of quarters to hurt his efficiency. So he just said, all right, shots beyond half court don't count for your statistics.
Don't count, of course.
So just all this stuff. They're just coddling all these guys. The load management, just everything. All the players run the league. And I know they have more power and everything because there's fewer of them than the owners per se, but gotten out of hand, and then the dress code, just all this stuff has just been so one-sided. But maybe it's he played the long game because he got the hard cap essentially in with the second apron, so maybe he just outsmarted him in that regard. But in terms of this deal, like Denver, like I'd be so mad if I was Nikola Jokic. That this is what LeBron did. This is what drove him crazy in Cleveland, because these owners so worried about the future and all this stuff. So he gave Cleveland 7 years. They never traded like a big, young guy to get a big piece, like the whole when they wouldn't trade J.J. Hickson for Amari Stoudemire. So he just kept them, and he held all the leverage and made them go into the luxury tax. So Jokic is sitting there, and they're giving up on the guy that could really be helpful in Peyton Watson for what, draft picks? Like, that's the issue. You have a generational player, multiple MVP, and you're getting cute with, like, draft picks and worried about all this stuff. Like, that's where Jokic has to control the situation and leverage that and make them and force their hand to make them do things, or he's going to walk.
Peyton Watson makes $22 million a year. Wow. What a league, man.
My favorite thing was when I was doing local news and sports and I would mention a deal like this for you. And then like the female co-anchor would be like, oh, I wish I played. I should have played. Should have chose the NBA. And I'm like, yeah, like you had an option.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing. Yes. It's like, oh yeah, I should have played. It's like, it's literally supply and demand. If there were more people that could do what Peyton Watson does, I know. Not that you were saying that. It just reminded me of all those, like, the news anchors who say that after sports. You're like, oh, should have done that. It's like, well, no, if you could have, you would have. It's just,
I get it. Like, hey, LeBron gets his money. Curry gets his money. Whatever they get, they're worth. It's like when Peyton Watson, when I'm sure, we got a pretty sophisticated sports audience, but I'm sure, 30% of our audience. So Peyton Watson, Who is he? What team is he on? What sport does he play? $22 right. million a year. He's never going to make an All-Star team. There is a little bit of like, wow, there's some sticker shock. It is a little bit of a turnoff when some guy that people barely heard of, $22 million.
But that's the problem with demand.
So
max
if it's
contracts.
Not going to him, it's going to the owners. I get it.
No, it's the max contracts. That's the stupidest rule in sports. Yeah. That ruined everything. The max player deal is the dumbest thing. They're the only league that has it. Putting a cap on what a player. Now, I'm all for salary caps for the team. That makes sense for parity. But the NFL doesn't have a max player deal. So if the max player deals didn't exist, the elite players in the world would make a lot more. Okay? So like Luka would make a lot more. And then the middle class, like Peyton Watson, would not make this money. So it would be the upper guys making, 60% of the team cap. And then the rest of the people that are all replaceable because the top, it'd be a fair market. That's the problem, is when Dan Gilbert whined around the time of the Chris Paul trade, no basketball, for basketball reasons, it was declined. That whole thing, that led to the max deal, which was actually backfired on small markets. That's when LeBron said, well, if I can't make more anywhere else, I might as well just go make a super team and do it myself, because guys like Eric Bledsoe were making max money because the team had all this money and they had to spend it somehow. That's the problem. If you have no max player deal, then you'll have 30 best players spread out evenly with the 30 highest salaries across the league. You'll have one per team because no one's going to take $40 million less They're going to go make $80 million or $100 million per year like Giannis and all. You won't have the super teams, and you won't have all these other guys like Peyton Watson making sort of the middle class making too much. That's the issue.
Yep, totally understand. Completely understand. I don't know. Does this probably doesn't trigger bet for you on the Clippers, the Cavs, nobody, nah. Right? Have you bet any NBA for next year yet? Have
no,
you bet,
I've heard
do
some
you involve on, Sixers, win totals, anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Sixers are going to be really good in the regular season. I know people think it's going to work, but like they're really deep, okay? And they have Nick Nurse, who's an excellent X's and O's coach, and they're going to get buy-in. And I think, you know, Jaylen Brown's, I know he wanted his own team and everything, but there's enough sort of load management to give him his opportunities. And they're stacked, man. I mean, even with Edgecombe, and then Maxey's fantastic, and Bede looks like a stick in a good way. So
it's a little like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's a little like the Dodgers where, hey, let's sign 10 pitchers. We know three or four of them are going to be hurt anyway. And let's just, you know what, let's go at it with numbers. One night Embiid can rest. One night, you know, LeBron can rest. It's like, hey, Snell's going to be hurt. Glasson's going to be hurt. I think it's a similar approach, at least towards the regular season. Postseason, different story. And I'm not sure defensively how good they'll be. I think they'll probably be a good over team because they're a little small. LeBron's old. I don't know, you know, how much Embiid can move anymore. I think they'll give up some points, and they're going to want to run, which is good towards an over. But I think it's going to work more than I think it's not going to work.
Believe it or not, the first inning's still going on in Milwaukee. Seattle 4-0, but the Brewers do have a runner in scoring position, so maybe we get some more action. I want to tell you about something that's going on in VSiN 1 week from tonight in Hawaii. We'll tell you about that and continue to update all the scores in baseball as we roll on here. He is Will Hill. I am Doug Kazarian. This is VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
How about this? 1 week from tonight, Rainbow Authentics and VSiN are taking the bets to the beach. Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns are heading to Hawaii for a special edition of VSiN Primetime live from the islands on Wednesday, August 26th. Plus, Tim will have an island edition of the College Football Betting Podcast breaking down all the week zero action. Don't miss VSiN in Paradise, live from Hawaii, Wednesday, August 26th, starting at 7 Eastern, only here on VSiN. And it's one thing to say you're going to Paradise, but when you're already in Las Vegas and you're going to Paradise, that's pretty funny, but really cool. The Twin Towers are going out to the islands there. You got Tim and Matt out there. Will, you just took your family out here to Las Vegas. You're going to take some personal time off and take them to Hawaii as well and join the guys?
I mean, if I could get to go on company dime like these two prima donna superstars, Tim Murray and Matt Eumanns, I would consider it, but I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, they're certainly locked and loaded and pushing the right buttons, I would say. But
sure.
Maui Matt, it's weird what island. I forget what island he's usually on, but he's definitely often on Maui. He's Maui Matt, but this time he's going to the mainland, or the main island, I should say, in Honolulu. We're keeping an eye on a lot of games here. The Guardians have replaced Messick, but they still trail 1-0. It's now bottom seven. So Wilkinson, the youngster making his big league debut, throws two shutout innings. Then the Giants bring in Adrian Hauser, and he's been blanking the Guardians since as well. So we are now bottom seven. Leadoff guy gets out. So it's 1-0 right now. Giants and their skeleton lineup of a lot of AAA guys lead 1-0 in the bottom of the seventh. The Guardians were huge favorites, about 230 or so. See if Cleveland can get back in the can actually score a run here. Mariners hold the Brewers scoreless at the end of the first inning. We are 4-0 now in the second. So Seattle put up a four spot after losing 22-0 yesterday. And they now lead and are favorites on the live line. Yankees and Orioles, that scoring has calmed down a little bit, Will. Yes. I know you have the under. It's 3-2 Yanks at Camden Yards, bottom five with one out. What's your number here, and how do you feel about it?
Under nine, feel okay. I mean, feel a little bit better than did an hour ago. It's just more kind of a, you know, you get in these scenarios, Doug, where you just have something and you kind of buck it until it doesn't work anymore, and you just keep riding it until you give it a reason to not bet it. And Yankee unders have been a thing, I would say, in the last 10 days, 2 weeks, where you see the pattern of the pitching's really good. Now it takes a hit with Max Fried being out, but the starting pitching's really good. The bullpen's really good, and they can't score. And I just don't know that the market has kind of caught up. And I know the other day it did a little bit. I think it was Sunday. It opened. It was Schlittler was pitching against Toronto. It was Cease pitching for Toronto. And I forget who was going for the Yankees, but it opened 7.5, trickles down to 7, trickles down to 6.5. What do you know? It goes to extra innings and lands on 7, and the market really liked the under. But for the most part, all these Yankee games, it's 1-1 in the 6, it's 1-0 in the 6. They can't hit, and they've got good pitching. So I just keep going back to it until it gives me a reason. Once it loses back-to-back days, that's kind of my cue of, all right, maybe this is over, maybe I get off of it. But that hasn't been the case. The under's been a cash cow here for Yankee games.
Well, to your point on Sunday, Ben Rice, leading off the ninth, pulled a Buckner. Ball went under his glove, and that allowed Toronto to manufacture the tying run that went to extras, and that's why that game landed 7. So I hear you, but Sometimes you got to look at the why. One WNBA game right now. There's two on the slate, doubleheader on USA Network. This Toronto Tempo team took the fever down to the wire with Caitlin Clark. They sold out the Rogers Center, everything. Well, now everyone's sitting for the Tempo. Really thin lineup. This line steamed about 5 points, double-digit line. Tempo, I have the under heavy for the team total. First quarter did not go so well. Like we talk about these undermanned teams, try hard to start. Second quarter has been good. They're looking at a 9-point quarter right now. So that's on the VSiN Pro Picks page. That was my favorite play on the game. I had their team total under, and they've only mustered 9 points in the second quarter. So they have 33 now for the half with 2 seconds to go. So that's big. Washington was up one after one, and now they're up 14, I think, at halftime. So we're a couple seconds away from halftime. So that is a game that I had circled with. I just think when you have these short lineups, and you know this, you know, from NBA, just initially They're going to try hard, but they got all these players out, and there's not a deep rotation here. The league has expanded. There's not a bunch of great players coming off the bench. So when the two best players for an expansion team are out, and they're by far their highest scorers, I was looking to fade this Tempo team, especially on a back-to-back with travel. This was not a good spot for the Tempo.
I don't watch much WNBA, but if Lexi Hall is not in the game, I usually don't watch anyway, so I passed on this game.
Getting married this year, and Caitlin Clark's going to be at the wedding. My buddy's all psyched. He knows her, or he knows her fiance. Okay. So he's going to try to
we should crash.
Get some pictures. No, I will not be. He and his wife will be going to that wedding. I will not be his guest.
Me, you, and humans, we'll all crash it.
Well, let's go crash their trip in Hawaii first. What are the games? So we have the Dodger game starting in 20 minutes, and I think it's really interesting. We just touched on the Yankees.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to make of the Jays and Rays. This Tampa team's been fantastic at home all year, but they've been scuffling their feet of late. And, you know, they lost 3 of 4 at home to the Orioles last weekend with the wraparound series ending on Monday. Now the Jays come to town, get the offense going yesterday. But today, a lot of guys out of the lineup for Toronto, but they still have 5 runs. Just fortunately for Tampa, they're up 7-5. I thought they had the pitching edge. I thought this could be a low-scoring game. And sure enough, it's a high-scoring game. So it shows you what I know in terms of – that's why I didn't bet it. I didn't have a good read. But right now, the Rays, the AL East leading Rays, lead the Jays 7-5, top 6 with a runner on for Toronto.
Yeah, nothing for me there. I could understand the angle of, you know, the big home favorite, and you got the big pitching advantage that you play first team to score on the Rays, and that would have gotten home. But Scherzer's been so bad. Rasmus has been so good.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard to lay that price. I don't like laying a run and a half when you got the home team. But I was just going to ask you about this Cleveland Giants game. And as we say that, we get a ground ball to short that's booted by the Giants. So it is now 1-0 Giants. Cleveland has 2 on, 2 out in the bottom of the 7th. Let me ask you, is this enough of a price? For me, it's not. San Francisco -141 on the live line at DraftKings. Cleveland +122. If anything, I'd actually play the Giants. I don't know. Do you have any feel for a live line here in terms of San Francisco and Cleveland?
Well, I would consider playing Cleveland before this, like just because the San Francisco bullpen is so bad, bad. But I mean, the inning should be over. There's 2 outs. He completely botched a routine grounder to third. When he almost threw it to first, I thought we're going to have yell at the angry man yelling at the clouds, because I've been venting to some friends. What do you make of a lot of these guys not running out grounders?
Oh, it's infuriating. I mean, it's insane, get paid how much money? It's the old saying, Well, it takes no effort to run hard four times a night. It's not like you're running a marathon out there. You get four at bats. You hit the ball on the ground, run. It drives me crazy. I'm with you.
And there's been so many throws offline, or a guy bobbles the ball, getting it out of his mitt, even if it's a routine grounder. I just don't understand. Right. And we're talking late innings, like Machado earlier today with the Padres trailing 2-1. He ground ball, like double play. He's just cruising up the line. Like, I just don't get it.
Even if, you get thrown out, it's the idea that you put the ball in play and it's a 2-0 count now. So I'm sure that line is dwindling towards even money, which down a run, I can't take even money. I know the Giants bullpen is bad, but you put the ball on the ground. Let's just say you're batting. You hit the ball on the ground and you run hard every time. Even if you get thrown out, that puts pressure on the defense where the shortstop goes, oh man, he's 3/4 of the way down the line. I got to field it cleanly. I got to rush. It puts pressure on you to make the play. And it looks like San Francisco is going to get out of this. A pop out, it is fielded and caught by the second baseman. So no harm, no foul from that error. And boy, I kind of wish if we weren't on the air, honestly, I probably would have laid the $1.40 because I got a 1-run lead. I don't care about a bad bullpen. But yeah, if you run hard, it puts pressure on the defense. And these guys just, they can't even be bothered to run hard. If I was managing a team, it would drive me absolutely insane.
Well, I know guys in college football, like obviously Zignetti can coach hard, but a lot of coaches are afraid to coach hard because they can transfer things like that. With these athletes making more than the managers, it just doesn't make sense. Because if there was the playoffs, they'd be busting their tail. So I just don't know when, like, there's a 2-1 game in the eighth, why they're not. Things like that. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You know what else doesn't make a lot of sense? The Mariners. 3-run jack, 7-0 lead in the second inning in Milwaukee. What do you make of that?
That's baseball, Susan. One day does not always relate to the next. It's what's the saying? Momentum is as good as the next day starting pitcher in May. A lot of contact in that profile, and the Mariners not exactly the 27 Yankees on offense, but they are coming to life tonight. I know you still don't believe in them. I don't blame you for not believing them. I'll phrase it this way, though. We'll look at the other end of the spectrum. Do you think the Cubs can or will catch the Brewers there in the Central?
They can. I'm not necessarily saying they will. I think they can. What odds would you give me on an exact score, Seattle 22-0 winners?
Whatever you want, man. You and I are good friends. We'll let me know.
We'll join humans in Hawaii. We'll join humans in Murray. Yes. That would be amazing. So they're a third of the way there. Third of the way there to match yesterday's score, although flip the winning team. He is Will Hill. I'm Doug Kazarian. This is VSiN Primetime. We're continuing to track everything going on the baseball diamond. We're going to talk golf in a couple hours as well. And also about 15 minutes from now, we're going to look at some college football futures. Yeah, the regular season is only 10 days away, but Dodger baseball is about to start. We're going to give one last look at our game of the night as we roll on here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Quite the wild day/night in baseball, if you think about it. We have the Mariners 7-0 lead out of the gates over the Brewers in Milwaukee. You have a sizable favorite with a 1-0 lead in the eighth inning. The Giants, which were the biggest underdog of the day, if I'm not mistaken, leading in Cleveland 1-0. They were about +210, give or take, on the money line. They have a 1-0 lead and a runner on first with two outs in the top of the eighth. So quite the upset brewing there. And we had the Red Sox game that went extras. That was back and forth. Pretty wild finish at the Mets game as they hosted the Padres. And as I look at some scores, it's Tampa 7-6 over Toronto in a game that's been pretty dramatic there. Will, what else is jumping out at you on this, like I said, pretty wild night and day in baseball?
Yeah, the Twins, I mean, this AL wild card, and we probably haven't spent enough time on this. The AL wild card is just wild for lack of a better word, where the Twins, who are currently tied for the third spot, the Blue Jays, the Orioles, the Tigers, who have been dead, bounced back, and that might have been the game of the day, Doug. I don't know how much of that game you watched, but Skeens, again, was not sharp to walk people, gave up runs, and it's 3-2 in the ninth. Tigers have the lead. Bottom of the ninth, Pirates 0-2 count with one out. Home run, tie game. Then two outs, Brandon Lau, and I always get confused if it's Lowe or Lau. I'm pretty sure it's Lau. hits a long drive to right. You could tell he didn't really think it was gone. He didn't leave the box, but guess what? It hits the foul pole, as Warner Wolf would say. It hits the, you know, why don't they should call it the fair pole. And the Pirates walk off the Tigers. So I keep waiting for the Pirates to make a run. They're probably too far behind. I like their pitching. I think they've got the talent, but they just, you know, they always leave you feeling kind of lukewarm. And I don't know. Let me ask you, the sixth seed, the final wild card spot. I mean, it's a dealer's choice here. Twins, Tigers, Blue Jays, Orioles. I guess you throw in the Guardians. I'm probably forgetting teams here. It's just, it goes to show you, we probably didn't need these extra wild card spots, but who do you think gets the final spot here in the American League?
Well, I don't believe in any of the AL West teams that are contending. So that excludes the Rangers. I feel like they're the
right. Texas is another one.
They're a pathetic team. I like the Guardians. I really like the moves. Oof. You know, yes, you know,
I get it.
They're not huge names that they got Adele. And then, but I do like getting Griffin from the Nats. I don't believe in the Blue Jays. I just don't. So maybe it is the Tigers. I actually was thinking about going into today, I was thinking about betting the White Sox to win the division. It was like -190, I want to say. I think they're
a good price.
That was an impressive win, you know, sweep in Detroit last weekend. And they've obviously, you know, they get the win today. The Cubs tough. Didn't love the decision to pitch to PCA and extras. But I do think this team is for real. There's no holes in that White Sox lineup. So if they prevail in the Central, like I think they will, then I think maybe the Guardians can make it work. But the Twins just won't go away. Maybe I'm sleeping on them. What about you?
I've been a Baltimore guy. Again, it's you know, it's kind of a tallest midget contest where you don't really love any of these teams. How could you? They're all, you know, under 500. And I thought, just from as an aside, Doug, it was perfect 4 or 5 years ago before they changed it. Three division winners, they all get in. There was a wild card as the four, and there was a second wild card as the five, and they would play a one-game playoff, which was so exciting, so fun. You basically start the playoffs with a game seven, and you get punished for being a wild card. One of them is out automatically, and you essentially have four playoff teams. I count the wild card as a playing team. I thought it was perfect, Dan. I think all these teams, college football playoffs, they're adding more teams. NBA's added playing teams. NFL went from 6 to 7. I mean, you go on and on. All these teams, all these sports add playoff teams, and it just waters it down. I'll say Baltimore, but I mean, how could you sit here with a straight face and have any conviction? These teams are all extremely flawed.
Right. And hopefully not, but there might be an injury that swings everything. But this is what we do. We're in the prediction business. We try to handicap. Right. Obviously, if I were to really crunch the numbers, I'd have to look at remaining schedules and things like that. But I'm with you. It's 162 games is enough. We don't really need all these wild cards into the postseason. Pretty cool event going on tomorrow, I want to tell you about, because VSiN is on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football style snake draft hosted by Dustin Sweetelson, and every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use. Win totals, division winners, player props, and stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers stepping into the Futures Draft room for the first time. Super Bowl winning wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, comedian and sports commentator Nick Bakay, and the guru John Hansen. Don't just watch the Futures Draft, profit from it. Tune in tomorrow, 5 Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And there's some great wagers on those. So what is this? You know, let's explain it. Basically, instead of taking, I don't know, McCaffrey with your first pick, you draft your favorite futures pick in the NFL. So it could be a division, you know, +210 or something like that. Or it could be a 20-1 long shot in the MVP, or a 50-1 ridiculous offensive player of the year, whatever it is. And then the person or team with the most, you know, winning bets / value and units at the end of the season wins. Now, I know you did this for another sport. Anything you remember distinctly and vividly?
Well, I remember from last year, and you're not going to believe this, but Matt Eumanns got a little bit cranky, Doug, because Dustin Sweetelson, who I thought did a great job hosting this, would update everybody's picks, I guess, for Matt's liking, a little too frequently. So I've already made a note to Dustin to keep the updates coming. If Matt gets annoyed, you know what? Matt, let Matt get annoyed. Keep the audience updated. But Matt was frustrated with the quantity of updates last year. But no, it's fun to watch. you know, people make the picks and just kind of, it's what's fun about fantasy drafts. I don't know if you still do fantasy football or baseball, or it's not even winning your league or having the games. It's just getting about around, you know, hanging around with a bunch of buddies, having a couple drinks and just busting chops, busting on everyone's picks. There's a similar vibe to this as there is to that. That's kind of what's fun still all these years about playing fantasy football. It's not even about the fantasy football league. It's just getting together with your buddies right. and busting chops.
Yeah. And unlike the fantasy football drafts, you don't want to watch. This, as a sports bettor, you watch and you're like, hey, I kind of like that future. You know, I didn't think about that. Yes. That's a good play. And then you can bet it yourself. I mean, didn't humans have 300-1 on Cam Schlittler to win AL Cy Young in that draft? So, I mean, if you hear something like that, one of these guys, because they're obviously, you know, they're doing their homework. They have a pecking order of what they like. You're going to hear some,
right.
probably some, you know, profitable wagers in the futures market or ones that you like. And if you can always pass, obviously. But it's good to, it's another way to hear a bunch of, round table of thoughts and opinions.
I'm excited for it. I can't wait to watch. I will be I'll be watching it or recording it or both, because it is one of the more fun, you know, kind of ideas we have here. It's just fun to watch the back and forth and see what everybody likes. It's fun from that aspect, just see the chemistry between all the hosts. So I will certainly be tuning in here.
Yeah, maybe we need more production with to update what people have so we don't have to vocalize it. Or maybe we just need a humans cam yes. on an adjacent programming and monitor his frustration. Updating some games going on. This Marlins-Phillies game, this over-under, I couldn't decide whether to get over or under. I liked Alcantara a lot. I almost bet the Marlins. Thank God I didn't, because Philly now leads 4-1 in the ninth inning. Marlins one out, so down to their final two outs. Yankees and Orioles. I guess we're past the point of jinxing your under, but it's been 3-2 for a while. Yes. That's where we stand. 3-2, bottom six, one out at Camden Yards. Yanks with the lead. The Reds have finally woken up with some offense. Down 2-0 most of the game. It is now 3-2 Cincinnati in the sixth. Libertor still pitching for St. Louis. One out for the Reds offense in the bottom half. The Jays and Rays, wild game. They had a high-scoring one yesterday. They flew over the total today. Tampa leads at home 7-6. Another runner in scoring position here on second. Nobody out in that game. A's and Royals went under the total with some late runs last night. We got another low-scoring game so far. A's lead 2-1
yeah.
in Kansas City in the fifth inning. Something tells me it's far from over. Royals are starting to wake up a little bit. We'll probably see some offense with both bullpens pretty bad. And the Brewers are on the board. We had a home run, so now it's Mariners 7, Brewers 2 in the third. Remember, Milwaukee won 22-0 last night. Nats and Rangers underway in Texas. Angels and Astros underway. They're in the second inning scoreless in Houston. And the one game I have not mentioned, I was waiting for another update perhaps. It is 1-0 still. Giants with the lead in Cleveland. However, thanks to a wild pitch, the mm-hmm. Guardians, Howe, have a runner in scoring position. The tying run on second, nobody out.
They're favored.
Jose Ramirez on the bump. That means maybe a base knock or something. But they wouldn't be favored if he had not moved to third. And it's a 1-2 count that I can see. So we'll continue to monitor that. But maybe the Guardians showing some life here. And Jose Ramirez just struck out. So I guess they are favored, even though yes. the guy didn't get to third.
Well, they were just a minute ago. They were -110 before the strikeout, like a pitch or two. And these lines are so volatile
sure.
late in the game. But they go to San Francisco, who's -104, a slight dog, you know, basically a toss up game a minute or two ago. San Francisco now -176. So the market's saying, despite the fact that San Francisco's up 1-0, they expect Cleveland to come back, tie it, and eventually possibly win it. But they've just not been able to get across that equalizer here. San Francisco been nursing a 1-0 lead for quite a while here.
Yeah, the Giants bullpen certainly suspect. We'll see if the Guardians can get to it. We have a challenge strike. It stands. A lot of drama here. Will, I'm curious to get some college football futures from you. I have a couple I want to share. I want to pick your brain as well. That's straight ahead here as we roll on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The biggest underdog of the baseball card today is now up 1-0 heading to the ninth inning. Giants lead the Guardians in Cleveland 1-0. Pretty wild outcomes so far. Another upset brewing. The A's, or the Athletics, lead 2-1 in Kansas City, but they are batting in the fifth with two on and one out. And the Mariners, remember, they lost 23-0 last night. They lead 7-2 in Milwaukee, just the third inning. So the offense came to play after getting shut out last night, Will.
Yeah, and it's the old John Sterling saying, you can't predict baseball, Susan. And it's tough. And the other saying is, you know, momentum is as good as the next day's starting pitcher. And, you know, these guys, five-star hotels, five-star meals. Okay, you could lose 100-0. You go back to your hotel, you get a nice meal, you have a little fun after the game, you go to bed and you wake up and it's a new day. I don't think these guys get too attached to the results. And, you know, you being around the game for as long as you have, I think you kind of get the sense too, especially baseball players, they don't let these losses linger as much as fans might think. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, unless a team's on just a ridiculous skid and it's just bad, it's a bad season, then fine. But there's a reason I laid off the Royals today. There's a reason I laid off the Brewers today. I was just a little gun shy. You know, you have enough scar tissue. You get hit over the head enough betting and losing money on these things. You kind of learn your lesson the hard way. At least that's how I see it.
Yep, can certainly understand. And again, just because you get absolutely destroyed in a baseball game doesn't mean it's going to carry over the next day. It's one thing if you, you know, you lose, you're up four runs in the ninth and you give up five. Maybe that carries over, but 22-0 and it's just over in the fifth, sixth inning. You can kind of flush it and get ready for the next one. So we'll, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. I believe we're going to the third here, Washington and Texas. I took the half a run with Washington in the first five, just because I want to stay away from that Washington bullpen. I really didn't understand why Texas was the favorite, where at least in the first five, I got the better pitcher with Cade Cavalli and I got the better lineup. So, and you know, you and I have done enough of these shows. I think you've heard me enough to know I love winning on that half run in the first five. The national anthem is over. I'm already winning. It's already 1-0 me or 0.5 me. And you got to score a run to beat me. And so often after five innings, Doug, it's 1-1 or it's 2-2. That half a run can be the winning run. And as long as I'm only laying $1, $1.30, you know, $1.40, I feel like when I've got the advantage here, I don't mind laying that kind of juice. So we'll see here. Only three innings to play. But yeah, I'm catching half a run. It's a three inning game. So feel good about that one. And as you mentioned, San Francisco 1-0 over Cleveland. Crazy. So a big upset lurking here is just, you don't trust any of these teams in the American League wildcard race. They all have their flaws. They all have their warts. Somebody's going to come out of it, but it's hard here in the middle of August to figure out who it's going to be.
And Kyle Freeland has been in a groove of late, allowing one earned in each of his last three starts. First inning, picking up right where he left off, just needed nine pitches to retire the Dodgers in order. Bottom half of the first, Roky Sasaki gets a strikeout for the first batter. And we're cruising along. He's got the second batter, Moniak, one and two count. So I lean
a Nerfian course.
Yeah, I lean to the under 11.5. I think Sasaki's been great, and I'm not sold on this Dodgers lineup. Now, Kyle Tucker is in the lineup, so we'll see if he can continue to break out of his slump. He got a base hit yesterday, but he's still batting under 200 on the road. But this is Coors Field, where certainly teams can get out of a slump, and that's what the Dodgers have done. Let's see if Tucker can do that. By the way, college football season is almost here, and betting it blind is a losing strategy. Get the College Football Betting Guide free with VSiN Pro. It has previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting slips, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today for just $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And Will, I know you have a bunch of good stuff on there. Really, really comprehensive material for both the college and pro football magazines. I encourage everyone, even if you're not a futures bettor, it does bring you up to speed and get you ready for the upcoming regular seasons. I have a couple plays that have caught my eye. You know, Matt Eumanns often calls me the betting bully because I'm not afraid to just pick on the worst teams there are and lay it. You know, sometimes like the sharps will get a little too cute with those dogs. Like, remember the Browns go 0-16 or 17, whatever it was that year.
Sure.
Or the Rockies a couple years ago in baseball. I've been betting against the A's a lot. There's some win totals that are low. but I still like the unders. One that comes to mind the most is North Texas. I know Boston College is kind of a chic pick. For me, it's North Texas. Obviously, the head coach and quarterback went to Oklahoma State. They only have 8% of their snaps returning from last year. And given the schedule, I mean, they very easily could start 1-6. So they may only win 3 all year. 5.5. Now, I know 6 is a key number. Sometimes going under 6.5 is a smart move because they're really just targeting that 6th win down the stretch. They're really targeting the 6th, you know, when you have a 5.5 total. But, man, I just don't see a bowl season out of the Mean Green.
I'll give you one, and it's one you're sort of familiar with. You used to live in this neck of the woods. UConn for years, you know what? Great basketball schools, not exactly a football powerhouse.
No.
For them to be at 5.5 wins, I know Jim Moore Jr. did a great job, but you know what, Doug? Jim Moore Jr. is not there anymore. For them to get to 6 wins, I think it's going to be tough. You look at the schedule, to me, it's closer to like 4, you know, 4 or 5. I think 6 is asking a lot, so it's one that's off the radar. But you know what? The Alabamas, the Georgias, the Ohio States, those are going to be priced more accurately because there's just more attention on those markets. It's the teams, the North Texas, the UConns of the world where I think you can find some value. I think UConn is going to struggle to get to 6. So I like your North Texas angle, and I'll throw one in here with UConn. I think they go under the 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, look, some of the other ones I like is San Jose State under 4.5, Southern Miss under 3.5, but I think they're going to be favored in like 3 or 4 games, so it gets a little tricky there.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case with North Texas. I think now, it all depends as how much was the quarterback, but their defense stunk. I don't think it's going to be better. And then you have the quarterback's gone and maybe to the pros in another year. I just don't see how they do it. But to your point, yeah, Jim Moore Jr. was fantastic. He had a quarterback that really should have been like Heisman buzz. And then some of the other stuff. But, yeah, he's no longer there. And I don't know. I like the wrench and all, but I don't know if the wrench has a strong home field advantage.
Yeah. How many times have you been to the wrench?
Just once. I went to see Michigan play.
Okay.
And that was fun. Tailgate.
Wow, Michigan came to UConn. What year was that? Was that 2012, 2013 in that range?
Yeah, like 13 or 14. Yeah. Because remember, the AD, the former AD, who is now the former AD at Michigan, he was at UConn. He played with Harbaugh back in the day at Michigan. So I think they scheduled something like that. It was great. And I think UConn was in the game for a little bit. You know, they covered. You know, it was one of those weird games at night. It's, right? Harbaugh hadn't figured it out yet.
You don't just walk into the rent and expect to cover numbers against the Huskies. If Harbaugh was there, then it had to have been 15. So if it was Harbaugh, because Harbaugh's first year, I think he took over the Niners 2011, 2012, 2013, and I think maybe 2014 was out. So I want to say 2015 was his first year at Michigan. So maybe it was 2015.
Okay. That rings a bell. I mean, I know where I was. I got to Connecticut in 2012. Why do they call it the rent, not the wrench?
I don't know. We will divulge that information on the VSiN plus subscription. That's not something I have no idea, dives. To be honest.
Checking the schedule.
Yes.
Gosh, what year was it? It was 13. It was 2013. So maybe Harbaugh wasn't there. Okay. Maybe it was just.
No, he couldn't have Michigan. Been there by then.
So, that was September of 2013. 24-21, Michigan nail biter wins. Gardner was the quarterback. Shoelace, right?
Yeah, and that's the kid. He was, I don't know if it was that year, but there was one year, I think it was him, where he was like odds on to win the Heisman a couple weeks in, where there's always these overreactions. Has a good 2 or 3 weeks, and oh, man, you got to give him the Heisman. He's definitely going to win it, and then they don't win. They don't even come close. But
Saquon was
that's definitely a blast from the past.
And he did not win as well.
Really
cool programming note. For those who've tracked everything, Circus Survivor, the weekly episodes, is really awesome. And straight ahead, Beeson Primetime is stepping aside for the Circus Survivor documentary. If you want to keep listening to Will and me, you can catch us over on the Beeson Watch app or Sirius XM channel 158. Otherwise, stick around because the documentary is coming up after the break. The next episode, only here on VSiN. Really cool stuff. Captures all the excitement of Survivor. Will and I have participated in the contest. It's dramatic, and I think they said it during Follow the Money. Like Mitch said, there's no good way to lose Survivor, right? There's no good losses in there. It's just so painful because each week you advance, you just get more attached to the potential of a windfall, and it's just captured in this documentary. It's a lot of fun, so go check it out. But Will and I will continue with Primetime over on Sirius XM channel 158, also on the VSiN Watch app. This is VSiN Primetime as we roll on, approaching top of the hour, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. He is Will Hill. I am Doug Kazarian. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.